2.7, which was the 118th South Master Development Agreement proposal. It looks like Michael's online. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Okay, we're just going to be setting up our PowerPoint for this presentation. Okay. So as the council knows, this was scheduled for a work session 2 weeks ago. After the applicant had received the staff report, they had requested that this item be continued until tonight. They've made some revisions to the draft MDA, and they accepted many of our comments that came from both engineering and from planning. And we believe that this project is now ready to move forward to public hearings for both the general plan amendment and the zoning amendment. Now, that's not to say that I don't anticipate that there'll be further changes to the draft MDA. I think we will all learn a lot about what the neighborhood and public is how they feel about this proposal, and maybe what are some of their concerns and conditions that they would like to see the city addressed. But I do believe that this draft that you received in your packet, and we'll talk about tonight, I think it's fairly consistent with the expectations that we've outlined as a city in the past. So we're just gonna go through this quickly. Doesn't look like it's letting me steer here. There we go. So just a general timeline. There have been multiple drafts of this. I think there's been essentially three primary drafts. The latest one, again, we just received about a week ago, and it was included in your packet. We did already have open house meetings with the neighborhood last year. So we do have some early comments from the community, but again, these will be public hearings as they are heard by the Planning Commission. Just the next slide. So in summary, 24.2 acres. The property is owned by Sunrise 3 LLC. I've asked for a clarification. I don't really understand what the relationship is between DAI and Sunrise 3 LLC. It's probably some wholly owned subsidiary or something like that, but we'll ask. I've already asked DAI to just kind of clarify that. The current general plan, the north end is parks and recreation. The middle is actually single family residential, and the bottom southern portion is open space. The zoning is A1, which you can see in the specific map. The next slide shows the general plan and the zoning ordinance. You can see the area we're talking about just clouded in the upper left-hand corner of your screen. Again, those three different general plan designations in the zoning map. Next slide. This was an earlier exhibit that they had shown to the city. Originally, they were talking about doing improved open space. There was a lot of concern from the community that this would generate traffic through the neighborhood, overflow parking in the neighborhood. There was also some concern about having an active play field right next to Mountain View Corridor. And so this was an exhibit that was actually replaced with something much simpler in the latest draft of the MDA. Next slide. So it just breaks it down to its key components. The north portion is the north office area. Middle portion is the middle park area. That property is being proposed to be deeded to the city. And we currently have a trail system that runs through that open space area. And then again, that southern area would be used for self-storage. All of this, of course, would require a zoning change. Next slide. This is the general plan exhibit that we've asked them to update to be consistent with the terminology we use in our general plan. So again, the far left, that's the northern portion, that's the commercial. And then the southern portion is light industrial business park.
I just do it again.
And then the open space again in the middle. Next slide. The zoning map that they're asking for approval of, the C2 in the middle, or excuse me, on the north end, that does of course allow for the office park that they're proposing. One of the things that we'll talk about later is there's no zoning conditions or restrictions currently as it's written. The MDA is saying that they could do anything within the C2 zone, which would allow for an office park. That is their intent, but there's no restrictions that it has to be an office park at this point in time. The reason why the applicant has been asking for the M1 zone is the M1 allows for outdoor recreational vehicle storage. There are portions of this property along the eastern boundary, it's about 75 feet wide, that has a large natural gas pipeline and easement. And so the applicant is saying that in that area, they are prohibited from building structures, but they could park. They could park RV vehicles along that easement. Next slide. This was an earlier exhibit. It is no longer in the draft MDA. It did show just a general outline or layout of what the office park might look like. Next slide. Because that exhibit really had no regulatory teeth in it, there was nothing in the MDA that said that we had to emit that particular park. It really wasn't useful for staff. It didn't have any meaning, really, the way the MDA was drafted. So they just simply reduced the exhibit to just this map showing the north area, the location of the road and the fencing along the east side. Next slide. Again, this was a previous exhibit showing the access location from Mountain View, and it was also replaced with a simpler map. Next slide. Again, we're looking a little bit closer at showing where the outdoor storage would occur, at least as far as what the applicant is proposing and where the indoor storage would occur. Next slide. Now, in the staff report, we outlined a number of bullet points that talked about what are the features of the MDA and also just some general comments for consideration. The applicant has reviewed those comments and has essentially agreed to address them or comply with them, you know, make another revision to the MDA. This one, we're stating that we want an acknowledgement that UDOT access approval is required prior to construction plan approval by the city. We just want to clarify, we've got to get that in place. There's no reimbursement for any of those improvements required by UDOT, so those won't be eligible for any kind of reimbursement from the city. Outdoor storage, again, is required under the M1 zone. If the city were to do a C1 zone, we could do indoor storage only, but it's recreational vehicle storage in the M1 zone. We could site the indoor storage structures to try and screen the RV parking. One of the things that the applicant is willing to stipulate is that nothing would be taller than 15 feet where they're storing the RVs. So it should be fairly easy to try and screen that from largely public view. There is no height restriction in the M1 zone. We've suggested that we add one as a zoning condition, and the applicant is agreeable to doing that and trying to make sure we're protecting the residential neighborhood. We also threw this idea, maybe a property exchange might be valuable. We're going to be dealing with some access for some maintenance that the city has. This is not something we really have matured. This was a suggestion that came from Blake, our community development director. So we'll continue that conversation, but it was just an idea that we've thrown out there. And then again, the conditions on the M1 zone, Are there any other conditions that maybe the city council would wish to consider? And I suspect that we will get some, you know, we're going to get feedback from the community, and I think that will inform the council once this comes back to you for a final decision in the future. We'll see what those conditions might shape out to be. So any questions, Michael, about the draft MDA?
Yeah, in the draft MDA, for me, you know, one of the reasons I'd be willing to consider this is because of the office space. And so as we're looking at the C2 zone, I would want to see some sort of zoning condition on there that would require that to be office, and not, you know, some of the other things that could come in that, without coming back to the city council for approval for a change. So that, I mean, I want, I think we all want office space. We all want to see those businesses come into our community. I just want to make sure we get the shiny car that we're promised.
Right. Yeah, the direction from the community development council or group that we've been holding, Steve and Jared, is that we really wanted to try and have a clearer picture of what this FDA would admit and then start the public engagement process. I think if the council feels comfortable, I think we're there. We're getting ready to advertise the public hearing at our next planning commission meeting for the general plan and the zoning map amendments. And of course, we'll also ask the planning commission for a recommendation on this draft FDA for your future consideration.
Mike, a quick question for you. If I am recalling correctly, it seems like when we've talked to about this before, there may have been some proposed timing discussed about, you know, some of the office coming in before the, you know, the storage. Is that something that's still been discussed? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, and so we've actually clarified that issue with the applicant and their attorney, Bruce Baird, that process will require a subdivision plat and civil engineering for the office space, so all of it will be engineered. And then there's an obligation to apply and receive a building permit. Now, the current MDA, I think, has a number of 10,000 square feet. Their earlier concept plan was showing buildings that were roughly 20,000 square feet. But we've reviewed this with staff and with Blake, and we believe that even a 10,000 square foot building with a full site civil engineering plan actually is going to be a pretty significant financial commitment for BAI. We think they will, you know, that's enough of an investment that they will move forward on that office park once they secure that first building permit.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just looking forward to hearing some of the public input and comments on it. Yeah. I am supportive, certainly, of the storage, and I understand the logic and the thinking behind wanting to require some of that office to come in, you know, at least ahead of or at least at the same time as the storage. But I go back to the fact that we just tonight approved several hundred more townhomes in our community. And I'm telling you, people have to have a place to store their stuff, or we see it everywhere. And so if we don't provide, it's another level of balance, in my opinion, to our community. If we do not provide spaces for them to store their stuff, then we have stuff everywhere. So right. I just think it's just a valuable component to creating that balance and harmony in our community. If we, people don't have, and especially like RVs, we hear complaints. Well, they're parking it on their street, or they're parking it in their driveway, and it's blocking our view. But if we allow them opportunities to store them in areas that is appropriate, then it makes sense to me.
I'll just make a quick comment regarding kind of the public's concerns. It'll be interesting to see what else kind of services, because the developers already had several of the community meetings dating back over a year ago. We've been talking about this for quite a while and kind of outlined the terms that seem to be have been agreed to. What I kind of outlined to the residents over there was that, look, if the developer agrees to some of the major things we've thrown out here, one, that the storage would be a write-in, right in, right out, only access off of Mountain View. There's no access through the neighborhood, right? It's divided by a precast 8-foot wall. There's clear separation for the neighborhood. They have protection, separation of uses. The office buildings, their neighborhood's concern there was, I mean, some of the normal things, I think, potential increased traffic, you know, where the entrance is going to be. One of the main ones that I think is a genuine concern is you have residential homes there. How tall will those office buildings be? I like the idea of office buildings for sure, and we want to get the good with the storage units. And the idea there, Sherry, was, because I think that was kind of my suggestion a while ago, was I'm afraid that we'd get the storage units and nothing else, right? That's the way these things usually go. So I agree, we need storage, but we want the good, what I consider the good stuff to come with it. But the neighborhood's concerns were, where would those office buildings be located? How tall would they be? Would their sight lines be into their windows, into their backyards? Some of those sorts of things. I did give them the assurance, and it seems like that's been carried out through here, that this project would be separated from the neighborhood. There wouldn't be any roads adjoining. There would be no access through the neighborhood, et cetera. So I know that those are kind of their two main things were access for the office buildings and, you know, the location and sight lines, et cetera.
No, I agree with Jared, and I think that we're to a point that it's probably time to really start getting this in front of the public and let them, you know, give us their input. I, from principle, am fine with the project, with the zoning changes. I think that we need the storage. I think we can use the commercial. I would just like to start really getting some serious input from the community at this point regarding the plan that's in front of us so that they can make suggestions at this. So I'm comfortable moving this along the process to, with the things that have been outlined by staff, to further this process along.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Any other concerns or comments by the council on this item?
One thing that was brought up before is where the access to the office buildings would be located off of 118 South there. Part of the reason they're concerned is that that's a walking area for children to go to that Early Light Academy charter school right there. And they're concerned that in the morning when people are coming to work, kids are walking across the street to school. They wanted to talk about some potential safety features and things right there in the area. So may want to tee up the developer on some possible solutions and location there. Maybe coordinate with the school a little bit.
Thank you.
Michael, do you have the direction you need?
Yes. Yeah, I think we're ready to move forward. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. We will move on to item 2.8, review of the city council appointments to various boards and commissions. Wendy.
Hello again, council. So I wanted to bring this to you in a work meeting tonight. We have had some drop-offs in our volunteers for these boards and committees. We've had some additions too, so that's good. But this is the list that we have so far for our various boards and commissions. If you know anybody in your areas or are aware of any friends or neighbors that might be interested in serving, I would encourage you to encourage them to reach out to us. We'd love to have more volunteers and more help. We're lacking on our history committee. We're lacking on our Healthy Harriman committee. We have enough to pull together the Healthy Harriman committee, but I think that one took a pretty big hit this year. So these boards and commissions are really important to us. They help us do a lot of things that staff don't have time to do, and they're passionate about these things, and so they're really dedicated and great to have on our side. So if you have anyone that you'd like to recommend, please send them to us.
And I'll make
history and Healthy Harriman.
Those are the two that seem to be struggling right now. So, but we'll take on any committee if people are interested. We are going to reach out to those that have not signed up to volunteer to kind of get a sense of why they've decided not to. We don't know if it's because of what's going on with the coronavirus. People are just distracted in other ways, but we're going to reach out and find out what's going on.
I think Jared was going to nominate Steve for all of those.
Probably could.
In all seriousness, though, I think there's a couple of our youth council people that should, that I will encourage to get involved with the history committee.
That would be great.
That's a good idea. All right, any other questions or comments for Wendy at this time? Okay, thank you, Wendy. We appreciate it. We'll move on to item 2.9, surplus of property adjacent to Rosecrest Pod 35 and Pod 39. Discussion by John Brown, our city attorney.
Can you hear me? Hello?
We can hear you.
All right, so let me just describe to you the process. It's kind of gone through several gyrations, so we thought it'd be helpful if you understood what we were doing and why. So this is pod 35 and 39. There's a small parcel of property between these pods and the highway. And it's a right-of-way is what it says. And we have done a vacation. The problem with the vacation is once we complete it or finish it, is it goes to adjacent property owners. One adjacent property owner is Wasatch, they want it. The other adjacent property owners, UDOT. So we got to find another way to get this property to Wasatch. So we've been through 3 or 4 title companies working on a solution because at the end of the day, Wasatch wants to be able to get a title report. So we thought it'd be worthwhile to do this in advance. So this is the process we've come up with. It's a little complicated, so I'll just kind of explain it to you. So first of all, we would surplus it. And then we would reference 109A508(4), which basically says if there's an exaction that the property goes back to the party that gave the exaction. So what we're saying is the exaction is we took it as part of this subdivision development. Then we would follow up that with a quit claim to Rosecrest. So the title company has a chain of title, so to speak. And then Rosecrest would quit claim it to Wasatch. And I believe that Wasatch and Rosecrest are working at an agreement along those lines. I don't know where they are on that. Then we will amend the plat. And then the amended plat will remove the right to Wasatch as the owner. And one of the important things that the current title company wants is to make sure that UDOT gets notice of this surplus. So that's basically what we're planning on doing with this pod 35 and 39 in a nutshell. Any questions?
How badly does UDOT want this property? Or is it just they want it because it's an opportunity?
UDOT does not want it, but UDOT will not sign off on it. That's what I've been told. I haven't discussed this directly with UDOT, but I've told that's what UDOT is saying. So if they get notice and if they object, then we'll know.
Any questions or concerns by the council on this one?
None.
All right, thank you for your efforts on that, John. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a real wacky process, but hopefully we'll get them what they want.
I'll try and work together. Okay. With that, we'll move on to our last item, which is not much of an item because it sounds like Brett has already done that. Do you have any further manager updates over what was done in the state of the city? Okay, we don't have anything else, so we've come to the end of our agenda. So at this point, I will happily take a motion to adjourn. Yeah.
Mayor, I don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but again, I have this follow-up meeting tomorrow with these other mayors on the issue we talked about. Didn't want to belabor it in the general meeting. I just want a general consensus, from the council, if they're at least